In a dark, dark tunnel at the bottom of the universe, there lay a forgotten black hole. If someone followed it to its bottom, a point like being unable to be stretched, that point like being would find that its bottom that the universe had torn. And gravity being what it is, that point would fall down into the blue sky beneath. That sky that lies over the Emerald Ocean, that is so full of little islands that some people say it isn't an ocean at all, but a very wet continent. Be that as it may, the poor bastards are the drop-off points for delusional, alcoholized ethanol is more pervasive in the universe than most sci-fi writers realize. Downtrodden excuses for universe points. And that place does marvelous things with them. Because on the Emerald Sea live mainly meditating jellyfish, drifting along the currents, and of course also the pirates and some other entities. But if you spend enough time atop an ocean teeming with meditating jellyfish, it does things to you. And then these people did things with the bastard points. Every so often it would happen that these points would, after millennia upon millennia, rise up, float up into the blue sky, and explode from pure being, creating new universes and new confused physicists. In Eleanor's field, the poplars grow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place while in the sky. The lark still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. Where he had heard it, he couldn't recall. In fact, it was all he could recall, and it bounced around in his head as gaily and freely as Michael Jackson in a big ballroom. And just as he would, the entity finally stopped panting and asked, "Look, this is lovely, lovely. But it's kind of lonely and empty, you know?" Said with love. And Maurice Michael hardly would have been lonely for long. The words were alone in the head. Completely alone. Joan didn't worry much about it. She just kept walking along the beach, kicking stones and skipping loans. Whatever loans were, she was skipping them. The meditating jellyfish were drifting in the distance, bopping up and down rhythmically with the wavy waves. Where was Eleanor's field? Why did she remember this? She was walking along the shore of a small, small island on the Emerald Sea, that mushy continent of wonders, and as she was, a small, small point-like, alcoholic, super-depressed, and telekinetic mote dropped from that hole in the universe down on her head. "Yo," said the mote. Joan stumbled, missed the stone she was trying to kick, and sat down on her butt. "Ha ha," said the unsympathetic mote. "Woo, it's empty in here in your head," the mote said it as it telekinetically zoomed around the grand empty stage of Joan's mind. It settled on the text about Eleanor's field, shining like purple glowworms in the middle of the room, and inspected it. "You Canadian?" it asked. The mote did not wait for an answer. It desperately needed to drink, and so it took control of poor Joan's mind and made her swim all the way to the pirate ship that was anchored outside the little island. Joan became conscious again on board the deck. She was dripping wet. The mote had taken several drops of rum and was soaking in them on her head, because that is how motes drink. All the pirates stared at her. Of course, they didn't see the mote. Joan waved. Now, people say you should dress to look impressive, but there are some hidden bonuses for those of us, and Joan was one, who never learned the habit. One is that people generally assume you're not worth stealing from. The pirate closest to her, a scraggly-faced old mermaid called Dawn, tossed her a bottle of rum and called over to the cook. "You've got extra help today." And so Joan swaggered as best she could over to the cook. It was all very confusing, but at least it wasn't boring and the rum was quite good. She chopped lots and lots of tubers into cubers, and presently the moat deigned to speak to her again. "You, my jolly transport, have a mental block in your head. There's a ton of old garbage behind it. Not that it matters a whit to me, but do you want to know what's behind it? You don't have to be an expert on human psychology to figure out that Joan, of course, wanted to." So she felt, heard a pop in her head, and garbage galore came sweeping in on her beautiful grand empty stage. It took several minutes until she could register the world around her again, and from then on, she was only temporarily viewing the world while frantically trying to sort through all the garbage the moat had let spill out in her head. Like most of us. It turned out she'd been a saleswoman at Mega Man. Selling action figures to starry-eyed kids had been her thing, and she'd been good at it, and she'd liked it. Some of all the garbage on the floor of her mind was bright memories of kids grinning and leaving with their moms on Friday evenings, rewarded for having been good at the dentist's, or maybe at school. But then there was that point in time that seemed to shower out both forwards and backwards in time, sprinkling the thoughts and memories and changing their consistency. It had been a day with a pale blue sky. One of those days in Toronto when the Arctic is hinting in the wind, but winter hasn't quite pounced. She had been bustling on her way to work as she saw a little girl sprint up metal stairs to a man whom Joan must assume was her dad, holding up a picture she painted and smiling as the sun. For some reason, Joan would never know why, the man took one look at the picture, ripped it to confetti, and sprinkled it to the streets. He went into his apartment and slammed the door without a word, with all but visible smoke coming out of his ears as he went. Probably the little girl had done something bad, but as she watched the little girl stand quietly, lower lip threatening to come out despite her best efforts, and a lone tear despite the little girl's iron will running down along a cheek, it was so sad. It made her so sad. The girl caught her eye, and she could think of nothing to make it better. Still, she climbed the middle staircase up the girl, and feeling like an idiot, she took one of her favorite action figures, the super fast blue hedgehog, Sonic, and put it on the girl's lap and sat down. The girl didn't say anything, but she stroked the head of the little blue hedgehog exploratively. They sat there a long time, quietly, and from up on the metal ladder they could watch the sun setting over the city. The pale blue grew darker, and as Joan and the girls sat, the first snow fell quietly over the city, dancing down over the heads of people, going here and there and making them look up. As it started getting dusky, the little girl said, "I have to go home to my mom now." Joan felt like a very incompetent grown-up and just kind of shrugged and tilted her head and said, "Okay." The girl looked at her sideways. The tears had dried up a bit. She waved and said, "Bye-bye," and rushed down the stairs and off. A dollar bill fell out of her coat just before she turned the corner. Joan shouted out and ran down the steps after her, but the girl was gone. Feeling like a thief, she had picked up the dollar bill. Someone had circled a little text on it with a circle of blue ink. Bonk! A gogi fruit landed on her head. "You can stop peeling now, you Camoon," the cook bellowed at her. Joan returned from her reverie to find that she had peeled a pile of gogies that you could hide a baby buggy under. The large Cretaceous cook bellowed a laugh and thumped the table with his claw and smiled with both mouths. Joan smiled too and laughed, politely but confused. But that was as it usually was, and the moat just snickered. But that bastard was so drunk by now that he was soon turning to snoring. This relieved Joan. The moat had made enough of a mess for one day. She and the cook put their feet, respective claws, up and took turns watching the gogies and drinking from the rum. I guess I'm a pirate now, thought Joan. She vocalized this thought to the Cretaceous cook, who bellowed a Cretaceous laugh, which Joan took as a yes. Thought Joan. And despite her best efforts, her mind wandered back to that scrumpled and inked old dollar bill.